Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Darkcast Network. Indie pods with a dark side. Hello and welcome back to Fuck That. Today I am here with Risa, who took her 11-year-old son to the hospital with the flu, where he eventually ended up fighting for his life days later. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we start, do you mind giving us some insight into you, your son, and what things were like before the incident?
Yeah, we were just a regular family. Nicholas was a pretty tall fifth grader. He, at the time, was about almost 6 foot. I think it was like 5'10", 5'11". Just a big boy that loved football. And so we were just living life.
So on December 14th, your son tested positive for the flu and he was sent home after receiving fluids. Was there anything about that first visit that stuck out as a red flag, or did it seem like a standard visit at that time?
Yeah, at the time, it seemed like just a regular visit. We didn't think anything, you know, spectacular was coming from it. Go in, get him some fluids, and they wrote a script for Tamiflu, which we did not take. And he actually got better. And then it wasn't until a few days later, until the week of, I think the 22nd, 21st, that he started to just, in way I put it, like a better term, just kind of tank out. He just completely deteriorated.
So by December 23rd, he could barely walk, but he was sent home again. What was it like at that point from your perspective?
So we went on the 23rd back and we pulled up. We wheeled him in a wheelchair. We're there a little under 2 hours. The doctor actually never really did a physical exam. She had a mask on, was kind of dictating a few things from the door of the room. And we kind of joked that we thought, you know, she was a little nervous she might get COVID or the flu or something, never realizing that it could be much more serious. The only point during that visit that I look back on and think, wow, you know, I should have been an instance where I trusted my gut was when the nurse came and asked for a urine sample and Nicholas said, "Mom, I can't pee." And the nurse was clearly, in my opinion, frustrated. So I asked her, I said, "Will this stop us from getting his lab results?" And she said, "Give me a minute." And she comes back and she says, "The doctor says everything's fine. It's just viral. Go home. It's not a big deal. He'll be better in a few days." And that point in which she kind of gave me pushback, and I look back with hindsight and go, man, that should have been a red flag for me. But we went home nevertheless, and you know, we treated him accordingly. She gave him Zofran, and that's what we tried to use.
Was he feeling nauseous?
He was vomiting. So he was vomiting. He couldn't urinate. These are things that we knew at the time, and that he had a fever that we had been fighting a little bit, and just so lethargic, and he would say confused or dizzy. And so when she said it was just viral, I mean, we never thought anything could be worse, right? That we trusted the doctor. I mean, it was at Methodist Health Lake, so it's a local hospital that we trusted.
So twice you went to Methodist South Lake, and then Christmas is supposed to look very different than what you lived through. What stands out most from that day for you? What prompted you to then take your son to Cook Children's?
So Nicholas was 11. Our oldest son was 22, and he was home from school. And Nicholas had not been feeling well. But my oldest son came in around 5 or 6 in the morning and said, "Mom, I want to wake him up." And I was like, "You know, let's let him sleep." And he said, "No, my gut tells me that I need to wake him up, and I want to open my Christmas presents." So we went ahead and let him get up. It's kind of a blur, but, you know, before 8 a.m. And Nicholas could barely walk down the stairs. And we get him down the stairs, and he's sitting on the sofa. And obviously our oldest son's like, "Oh, you know, can we open some gifts?" And Nicholas just kind of sat there. And obviously for 11-year-old at Christmas, kind of not really engaged in opening gifts is a red flag. But we thought, you know, he's just still not feeling well. He's got a virus, because that's what the doctor had told us. And so I start trying to get him to eat a little bit. But he tells me, he's like, "Mom, my shoulder, my arm still, you know, hurts," because it had been hurting on the 22nd and or the 23rd. And he said, "I feel really, really dizzy." And so I get up to, you know, just take his blood pressure just to see. And it was so low that I thought it needed new batteries. So I'm trying to like switch out the batteries, and I look over at him and he is yellow. And I almost was just in disbelief, like, is my mind playing tricks on me? She said he was fine. I called our pediatrician at home and I said, "I'm, you know, obviously sorry to bother you on Christmas morning, but I don't know what to do, because we were just there. She said he was fine, and now he's yellow and he still can barely walk." And she said, "Get in the car and take him to Cook's now. Don't stop."
Was there any redness on his arm or anywhere else?
So the 22nd, 23rd, there was like, they probably thought it was crazy, because I kept seeing like little spots come up. And obviously the 23rd, they dismissed me. And when we got to Cook's on the 25th, we had to go through a lot. But when we finally got into the PICU, I started photographing his right arm, because it would come up and it would go away and come up and go away. So I started documenting it. But yes, there was.
So you get to Cook Children's and you suddenly went from being dismissed at one hospital to 10 providers rushing around your son. How did you process that shift after being told he's fine in one instance to then being asked if you wanted to bring in a priest not long after?
Yeah, that was probably one of the most difficult things for my brain to ever understand. Pulling into Cook's, my son says, "Mom, don't leave me." And I said, "I'm not leaving here until you leave here." And so I get him in the door. We have him in a wheelchair. My husband's parking the car. And before my husband could park and get over, they had initiated sepsis protocol and put us in a room. And they start, you know, just so many things were happening. And it wasn't until after we were home from the hospital and all that I started to really understand how bad it was at that moment, because I clearly had no idea. It was just too hard for me to wrap my brain around. But, you know, we're there in the ER for what seemed like a short time before they got us up to the PICU.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
What do you remember most from his time in the pediatric ICU?
There's a few things that I remember the most. And I think one of them was he kept saying, you know, I think I'm going to throw up. So I grabbed a vomit bag and I caught his vomit, but instead it was really a pint of blood that he vomited up. And I looked at him and I knew at that very moment that whatever we're dealing with is not good. And he looked at me and he said, this is all within the span of a couple of minutes. And he said, you know, Mom, I see Jesus as lamb and it's okay if I die. And I was like, not today. And the ICU doctor looked at me and said, we're going to intubate him now, either in surgery or I'm going to do it in this room in the next few minutes. And so that was a very humbling, life-changing moment to hear your son say that and for them to want to intubate him right then.
You later learned that your son had an infection and it began exactly where the IV was placed on his initial visit to the emergency room because they wanted to give him fluids for the flu on December 14th. What went through your mind when you realized that this all traced back to that very first visit?
I think when we realize what kind of that's likely where it probably came from, we understand you can get things from the hospital. We understand things happen. We understand staff happens, or in our case, strep A. So that I could probably understand. What I could not understand was how did we go from we have a virus 48 hours before to them asking, the doctors asking if they could bring in a priest because they didn't think he was going to make it. That's what I couldn't understand. And so I had asked one of I needed someone to explain it to me. Logically, I needed to understand. And that's when I was told that he never was okay on the 23rd and that he should not have been discharged. The betrayal that I felt at that moment was one like no other. And they started showing me records. Later learned that his EKG actually showed a long QT, which should prompt a cardiology consult for a child. But instead, the doctor just notated that he had no STEMI, and she did not read it accurately. It wasn't actually until 11 days later was it actually read and corrected within the record. They only took one set of vitals before giving him an IV on the 23rd, which anytime you should have more than one set of vitals. And his blood pressure, he was hypotensive then. I think it was 104 over 49 or something. It was something incredibly low, which again, we didn't know. We also did not know that his labs were grossly off. His carotene was 1.5, but instead the doctor documented it as 1.3. His bilirubin was high. His kidney functions were off. His liver functions were off. But instead she wrote, everything was normal, well within normal, except for a carotene of 1.3, which is all misdocumented. Like that was not the correct numbers. She failed to notate any of this. And to me, this is criminal. I mean, if you or I commit gross negligence to this, we go to jail. But apparently, if you're a physician, you get an exemption.
Can you walk us through the moments after your son was discharged? I believe he was it 34 days?
Yeah, so we were there for 34 days in Cook's. It was a long battle. He had everything from, you know, dress syndrome. He had a PICC line and five IVs. It was a lot. But discharge was a glorious day for us. We go home and our house had been kind of frozen in time. And here it is almost February. And all of our Christmas decorations were up. None of the gifts had been opened. So it was a very sombering moment because I had not been home in all that time. I never left the hospital.
What challenges did your son face, and what challenges did you face as a whole, as a family, after he was discharged?
We actually just got back from Mayo Clinic yesterday. We're flying back and forth from Texas to Rochester, Minnesota, to make sure that we're getting the best healthcare because we don't ever want that to happen again. We want to get better. But Nicholas has a significant PVC. He has liver and kidney damage. He had to have four joint cleanouts on his hip and his wrist. And for a football player, this could be something potentially tragic for his career later. But all of those things we're having to go through and, you know, look at physical therapy, bought an AED machine because that's what you do when you have a PVC. There's so many things that we have to go through. The PTSD from this has been insane. I personally have struggled with it. Nicholas struggled with it. He's seeing a therapist. Mine was so bad that I didn't know that I was struggling so much with it that I started seeing a therapist and had to do a lot of things to get me back on track. But that's a lot financially. Just out of our own pockets, I stopped calculating at $1.5 million out of my and my husband's retirement just to make sure he got the best healthcare.
And I believe I read in an article that he had a lot of challenges with walking as well after, right?
Yeah. When they cleaned out his hip, it was just, it was really tough for him to get up and walk after. And so we have some pretty emotional videos of him trying to get up and walk and work with physical therapy. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of it was pain, a lot of it was fear, but a lot of it was just that joint was so, it was in bad shape. And so it was a lot.
$1.5 million is more money than I think a lot of us can picture, especially for something that should have and could have been avoided and is not anybody's fault, but the clinical staff that took care of him. You ended up filing a lawsuit against Methodist Health System. The lawsuit points out that his abnormal vitals and labs weren't addressed. How do you reconcile missed signs like that when the cost was so catastrophic to you?
To me, this is not a misdiagnosis. This is complete ignoring. This is gross negligence. I couldn't come up with anything other than that. Because the EMR system, so Epic, is designed to send off certain triggers at certain points, and they ignored it to the point that his LACE plus score was 51. And typically, I mean, as you know, it's probably less than 10. Most people leave the ER. And Epic actually made the nurse manually put in 51. So they were all very aware of how sick he was.
So their official stance, of course, is that this was unavoidable and not negligence. What is your response to that claim?
They did receive two CMS violations or deficiencies. They have entered in, I think now the new thing that they're doing, and I may be wrong, but they filed a Chapter 74 on our lawsuit, which basically is not saying that it didn't happen or that it wasn't their fault. It is all procedural errors. I think we're overcoming that challenge pretty well. We have hearings set, but it's very clear that they knew that she violated their own internal sepsis protocols. She turned off Epic alarms based on what CMS basic guidelines are. They did an internal peer review, which according to the CMS deficiencies, that they found fault with the doctor. They know what happened. They know what they did. They're hiding behind law. They're hiding behind Texas, for the lack of better terms, white coat immunity. For us, we filed with Texas Medical Board, we were immediately dismissed. We filed an appeal, testified before them, and now they are looking at, we're working through the final stages to see what the disciplinary actions will be. I have been relentless in ensuring that this doesn't happen to anyone else. So medical board, the joint commission, the nursing board, the inspector general's office, and CMS.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I want to talk a little bit about the South Lake community and what your experience has been like since the lawsuit.
It's been interesting. I've learned a lot. I think a lot of people are, well, I know a lot of people are afraid to speak out. And South Lake is, I think, overall a great community. There are a few things that probably would change, but we've lost a lot of friends. We have lost business. I've even had someone come at me with, she has Munchausen syndrome. But I have a lot of very silent supporters, and I've since the Dallas Morning News, so we made the front page of Dallas Morning News. When that came out, I probably got 100 messages from people at the same hospital with some type of similar experience. And I asked them, hey, have you filed a complaint? Have you looked into this? And they said, the hospital hasn't called me back, but we don't want to cause any problems. We see what's happening to you. And that's scary. What is also scary is that Methodist Southlake has made an agreement with Carroll ISD, which is the school there, they get to put their name on the football field in exchange for fast-tracking families into their ER system, where they are an adult-focused hospital and not pediatric. So that's scary for most, in my opinion, for Carroll families.
What do you think keeps people quiet?
I had to really work through that for me personally. And I think that people stay quiet because, and this is just my opinion, when you speak out, you disrupt their realities of the nice, everything's tied up neatly. Because if you pick some of that apart, I think it disrupts a reality. Nobody wants that. That's just my opinion. And you also have a few people that are very loud and can be very mean. I just happen to have very thick skin.
You knew leadership at Methodist and trusted them. How does that trust feel now? And has this changed your view overall on healthcare systems in America?
I actually was on a board with the president, and it has not so much changed my view on healthcare in America. It has opened my eyes to verify everything that someone tells me, question. But I think in our instance, bad doctor, and Methodist has been allowed to, for the lack of better terms, kind of sweep things like this under the rug so long under Texas law that that's a normal thing to happen. And that is not okay. And so that's one reason we're fighting back, because Nicholas is very fortunate because he's such a big boy that he survived. Had it been one of his friends who is half his size, or one that's a type 1 diabetic, or one that's had, you know, brain issues or whatever, they probably wouldn't have made it. And anytime that someone gives me pushback about fighting back, I ask them, if I don't fight back and this happens to your child next, are you going to think that's okay? And I don't think that they would.
You talk about wanting parents to think differently about where they take their kids. What would you like them to know based on what you went through?
A hard lesson learned was pediatrics and adult, not even remotely the same. And I didn't realize that because you can look at most hospitals and Methodist in particular, they have commercials and they're marketing towards families and whole family care and emergency services. But the reality is they're very different humans. And take your child to a pediatric center.
Where can listeners find you or find more on your story?
So we have a Facebook page. It's Fight for Nicholas. We're doing the hashtag Fight for Nicholas and Justice for Nicholas. We also have created a website. It's MethodistSouthLakeTX.com. Just tells a lot more about Nicholas's story. We've updated there. We've been pretty transparent with the court filings there. You can find everything there. Any media that we've done, you know, making the front page of the Dallas Morning News was a big thing for us, and just spreading the awareness and doing it through the site, doing it through the media, just trying to make sure that this does not happen to someone else. The only other thing I think I want to add is that I know a lot of times I've heard a ton of stories in that things aren't happening the way they should in hospitals, in the ERs, or at the doctor's offices. My thing is, don't give up. Continue to fight back. If you don't speak up, if people don't speak up, then it's just going to continue to happen. So we have to take a stance together and say enough is enough, that we deserve better. I mean, they're billing us, you know, $10,000, $15,000 for these ER visits, and we're being treated like this. That is not okay. And so be relentless, file your complaints, just word them up well. We're putting together a website that'll have a spinoff from the Methodist site that you can see, that it'll have some resources for you to be able to find and tell you how to write those grievances so you can get some attention. So those are our biggest things. And Nicholas is, we're getting better. We're moving forward, and hopefully we'll have a resolution to our lawsuit soon.
Good. I'm wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.